Renowned experts discuss women's greatest lifetime triumphs and challenges right here, right now, with your hosts and CEO of EmpowerHer.com, Michelle King Robeson, and top doc, Pamela Peek, MD. It's Her Radio, the naked truth about women.
Michelle, Mayday, it's a holiday.
It is?
Holidays, oh my gosh, holidays, and all the challenges that come with them, Michelle. Yikes, you know?
Yikes is right, yes. There are many, many challenges, and we're going to have a really interesting conversation today about, you know, challenges in mixing families.
Are you talking about step-family challenge? During any holiday at all, you know, sometimes that makes people's hair just curl thinking about surviving and thriving in step family relationships, especially at the holidays. And believe it or not, that's the name of a book written by clinician Dr. who is an expert working in internal family systems models and really has explored what happens with step families, especially the challenges that happen around the holiday season. Dr. Papernow, welcome to Her Radio. Can you help shed some light and hopefully, you know, provide a little hope here for people struggling with what goes on with this step family interaction?
Well, I'm glad to be here. And, you know, before we even get to holidays, step families are pretty intense and challenging places to live. You know,
Amen.
People come in expecting and longing for blending and end up finding that things can be very challenging.
Well, is blending really a realistic expectation? I mean, you know, we've heard this a million times. We're just going to Brady Bunch thing, and we'll just blend beautifully and life will be forever wonderful. Is that word even relevant anymore?
Well, you know how it is relevant. It's the longing we all have. I mean, what do we want out of family? We want to be connected and intimate. And the dilemma in a step family is that it's a very different foundation to build relationships on. You know, the pre-existing deep relationships are between parents and kids, and between kids and their other parent. You know, the step couple can be madly in love, but the agreements about, you know, what do you eat for Easter or Christmas or Passover, and the agreement about what's an expensive gift as opposed to not expensive gift, they're between parents and kids, not in the step couple or the step-parent-child relationship.
Well, boy, Michelle, you've had some experience with this.
Yeah, I'll say
Chair.
I have. Seven, Dr. Patricia, I have come from a blended family of seven children and 14 grandchildren and now one great-grandchild. So
wow.
So you can only imagine the dynamics. Now, there was one daughter, my daughter, on my side, and then my former husband had six children. So, and they were all, you know, grown. So that, you know, another problem that you face is when you marry somebody who's older than you are, the kids don't necessarily like that. But I will say, you know, I was reading some information about, you know, in your book and talking about some of the things that, you know, people can do. And I think for me, one of the bigger challenges that we face is we didn't communicate as a family. And I tried too hard, because in my case, what happened was Ed lost his wife. She was actually killed in a boating accident. So, you know, tragedy number one. And then in comes, you know, younger wife in this environment where, you know, no one's really quite happy about it. And I did a lot of tongue biting, almost bit my tongue off many times, but it worked. It got me to, and it was a six-year relationship we had before we married, and nobody wanted us to get married. No one.
That's a familiar story.
Is it really, Dr. Papernow? I mean, why do you say it?
Well, the first thing that's familiar is that it's a wonderful new gain for the adults, for the couple. know, I was single for 10 years before I met my second husband. And it's a loss for kids, and it's a loss even if there isn't a death. And if there's a death, it's that much, you know, there's already a history of loss. And now Daddy meets somebody new, and he turns towards her and away from us. And so we're not real eager to get to know this new stepmother. Plus, kids have loyalty binds. You know, if I open to this new young woman, and even if she's not young, will I lose the little bit I have left of my mom? Very hard for kids.
It is. It's hard. But, you know, on the flip side of that, I came from, you know, a family that both my parents divorced and both remarried. And I love my stepdad. I mean, he's like my dad to me. And I love the fact that he loves my mom. So for me, I never, you know, said, oh my gosh, I don't want this man in my life, or this is going to be a problem, or I always was very embracing of him. And quite honestly, he's been in my life for 25 years now, and I'm so thrilled. And he has children, and those kids are actually coming for Thanksgiving. We're all obviously grown, and we enjoy each other's company too, but we all feel the same way. We all embrace the fact that they are happy together. And
but I'm betting they did something
about?
Right. You know?
Yes,
well,
they did.
First of all, not to give away your age, but how old were you?
When my parents divorced?
Yeah.
I was 20. Huh. They were married for 25 years, so it was about 24, I think.
So you were in your early 20s. Mm-hmm. What we know is it's hardest for kids. It's easiest for kids under 8. Usually easier for boys than girls. Hardest for adolescent girls, early adolescent girls, 12 and a half, which is how old my daughter was when I met my second husband. And easier if the parent who is recoupling has a good connection with their own kids.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. You know, Michelle brought up the issue of the holidays again, and I'm going to circle back to that because we, you know, here you are in a place where personally I'm a realistic optimist, and I'm seeing a holiday situation as an opportunity to maybe either create or renew relationships. Do you see that as well, Dr. Papernow?
Well, it's interesting. When I went to do this, this is my second book, and it was 20 years since the first, so I went back to look at the research, which was overwhelming and really interesting. One of the interesting little pieces of research is that in two-thirds of step families, a holiday was a positive turning point, and
wow,
one-third it was a negative turning point.
Woohoo!
So I think the thing to look at is, you know, holidays are there are times when differences get exposed in a step family,
right?
And then also there's an ex-spouse, and we have to figure out how to divide Christmas or Easter or birthdays.
And that's
so there's
too.
A lot of logistics involved that also complicate this whole thing. Throw out one tip to be able to help people out there as they get together for the holidays with step family challenges. Just one simple thing they could do to really try to optimize.
I'm going to give you two because I'm greedy. I'm a greedy optimist.
We like that.
Well, just bring it on. Okay, quickly.
Okay.
Here we
go.
So
the first is that it's not divorce or single-parent families or step families that makes for poorer well-being in kids. It's conflict.
Okay,
and
good. Conflict, and so we're going to have to resolve that. What's the second one?
Well, and I'm just going to finish that one, which is keep it low. You know, you and your ex-spouse both want Christmas Day. Work it out without exposing the child to conflict.
Fantastic. And you know, so thank you for these wonderful tips, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Papernow. The book is Surviving and Thriving in Step Family Relationships. Thank you so much for sharing your wit and wisdom.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. This is Michelle King Robeson with Dr. Pam Peek. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter @YourRadioMD. Stay well.